on radio, streaming live on investtalk.com, and for our podcast subscribers. This is InvestTalk, above average investing for the average investor. InvestTalk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. And now, KPP Financial President, Financial Advisor Steve Peasley.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Tuesday edition of InvestTalk. It is June 30th, last day of the month, last day of the quarter. We had a pretty volatile yesterday. Today was, it was interesting that it wasn't a follow-through down day. It was not a follow-through down day, even though the market was down 350 points yesterday. Who knows what that means in the long run? We are due for a correction. Maybe we're starting to see the cracks of one now. Don't know. Not sure. Can't tell. Just because of the Greek problem doesn't mean it's going to, that Greek crisis. Of course, that's the big question for investors. Everybody, it's on everybody's plate. Everybody's paying attention. What should we do about it? How should we react? Well, when there's a lot of negative news about an event like this, investors tend to exaggerate and overreact. Now, what does this mean in the long run? What does this really mean? Will it mean that we're now in a bear market because Greece, you know how big Greece is? The economy of Greece is as big as Rhode Island. The entire economy of the entire country of Greece is as big, economy is as big as Rhode Island in the United States. And Rhode Island is a very small, one of the smallest state in the United States by far. And so really, what does it mean? So what do you do? You're going to sell, get out? As soon as the shock wears off and we get back to what the market was doing prior to this bad news, most time the market goes right back to where it was. So don't react to it. I don't think it's reactable. You should have reacted. If you tell me I reacted to the market a month ago because I think we're due for a correction, I would say, okay, then that's okay. But don't react to the news of the day, especially something like this. I wrote in my market commentary a few days ago, for the Greeks, this will be a disaster in the short run. Their economy will collapse again, and if they are forced to print their own money, it will be worthless. These fears are the reason Greeks are pulling their money out of Greek banks. Now, this was a number of days ago I wrote this. The government could easily seize that money, close the banks, and then convert the euros in those banks into the new Greek currency, and you as a Greek citizen would immediately have money that's worth much less than it was before they did that. And that's why the Greeks closed their banks. That's why they allowed them to only take a little bit out at a time. They don't want to have a run on the banks. Be that as it may, should it really affect you and me? How about the rest of the EU? Well, the Greek economy represents 3% of the entire EU. So I don't think for the EU, EU is still going to recover slowly, and the rest of the world is not even going to care. So what should you do while you go through this unsettling time for world economies? Well, let's talk about that. What should you do? We're live 4 to 5 Pacific time. Our number is 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Let's take this question now from our 24-hour listener line.
Hi, Steve. Hi, Justin. Great show. Listen to you by podcast every day from New York. I was wondering what you thought about the medium to long-term prospects of the healthcare REIT industry group. I thought the industry had good long-term prospects, even with the pending increase in interest rates. So I bought HCP Inc., Harry Cat Peter, at $42.75, and the chart looks pretty ugly to me. I'm beginning to second-guess my decision, and I wanted your opinion of the industry group and HCP. Thanks again. Bye.
Okay. HCP is a REIT that owns, acquires, and leases 1,100 healthcare-related facilities. Okay. It pays a 6.2% dividend. If you bought it for the dividend, it's going to have the cash flow to maintain the dividend. Okay? So I don't think, the stock is weak. Has been weak. It peaked in 2015 at what, $49 or so, and today is at 36. It's weak, and I don't think you really want to react to the stock price. I think it's really close to its bottom, and I don't think you want to react to it because you bought it for the income, and that income is steady. The growth is steady. I don't have a problem with you owning this, and I know the chart doesn't look that great, but if you go to a weekly chart, this is right around 36, 35, 36, $37 is where it has found strong support in the past. And the reason you bought it was for the income. So don't worry about it. It will be fine. It's going to make $3.20. 12 PE. That's pretty low. I think you put it in a drawer and ignore it for a long time. I think you'll be fine. I think that sector will be fine. You know, I'm not thinking you should worry about it too much. HCP, everybody. 888-99-CHART, the college savings plans allows you to use all the money it's accumulated for college without sharing it with Uncle Sam. Why the 529 for your future grads is a good idea. That's going to be our main talking point. Shifting gears with retirement investments. Shifting gears. What does that mean? What should you do? We're going to discuss that. Most popular national parks in the United States. There's 10 of them. I kind of like to do these fun things every once in a while. I have been in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of them. 7 and 10 I've been to. So I got to get to the last three. Ignoring the noise. That's what we're going to talk about also, about the Greek thing and the noise of the market. And another kind of fun thing, traveling to the... what are the most expensive cities for lodging, hotel lodging? The 10 cities in the Bloomberg World Hotel Index that are most expensive in order. You would be super surprised at number one. Number one is in the United States. That surprised me right there. And it is not Boston and it's not New York. That surprised the heck out of me too. Man, I thought it would be New York or Boston, but it's not. Anybody have an idea what city that would be? I got a bunch of stuff on my plate here I want to talk about, just a bunch. So whatever's on your mind is what we should be talking about. The market was up today. The Dow was up 24. The Nasdaq 29. The S&P up 5. It was much bigger up in the opening. The Dow was up 100. But it still maintained or held on to the gains for the day, which I thought was kind of interesting. And you know, how significant that is, well, kind of. I think it's kind of significant that it held on. So I kind of like what I saw there. Now we have to see if, you know, anything else. Greece is now in default. They didn't make their payment. And this weekend they're going to have some kind of referendum for the public vote, which I think is absolutely irresponsible by a government. Here a government cannot decide. They've already voted these guys in, what, last year? And they can't decide. They want to make sure that they're going with the populace. Instead of doing the right thing in their minds, they're going with the populace. And let's let everybody else vote on it. Well, don't you elect your politicians to make the right decisions, whatever they are, whether they're popular or not? Or are you just going to vote whatever way the populace wants? And in Greece's case, the populace wants free money. And a lot of countries are like that. The populace people want free everything. Well, you can't have free everything. That's not how it works. That's how the system works. And have you seen the Puerto Rican bonds? They're defaulting on some Puerto Rican bonds. Now, this is not the first time. A couple years ago, they did it again. They did it before, and now they're doing it again. And I had a discussion with someone about these and said that they're really, the yields look really great at 8-9% or so. But there's that 8-9% means extra risk. And of course, the person I talked to didn't, well, you know, it's Puerto Rico. They're a U.S. government, whatever it is. It's not a possession, what do they call it? Whatever it is. And they felt pretty comfortable. Well, yeah, how comfortable you're now? I think the bonds are worth 65 cents on the dollar now. You bought them for a dollar, now they're worth 65 cents. How's that 8-9% return due, and they're suspending the payments on that 8-9%. Yeah. See, you got to be careful about bonds. I don't care where they're from. You have to understand what you're buying. What does it mean? How well are they backed up? Puerto Rico? I'd rather buy an AT&T bond. I feel a lot more safer an AT&T bond than a Puerto Rican bond ever. I would. 888-99-CHART, everybody. That's our number. We want to talk to you. You can take a look at our new Disciplined Equity Program from KPP Financial. It targets focused growth for maximum returns. It provides aggressive market exposure. Market the whole time, very strong companies, very fast growing. It could be volatile, though. We do some proprietary value and momentum rankings utilizing a concentrated sector rotation strategy. Take a look at it on investtalk.com. Check in now with your questions about dividend-paying investments. We have those or any money manager that you want to talk about. 888-99-CHART. 888-99-CHART. 529 programs. Those are college education programs. I think 35, 36 states have them. Not every state has them. And the biggest event, this is after-tax dollars, but all the money in a 529 program is tax-free as it grows. Now, I get this question a lot. What are the best states? Because you can live in one state, buy a 529 program that's in another state. You don't have to be in the particular state. But I do get a lot of questions, though. Well, which ones are the best? Well, according to Morningstar, Maryland College Investment Plan, the T. Rowe Price College Savings Plan in Alaska, the Vanguard 529 College Savings Plan, Nevada, so Alaska, Maryland, Nevada, Alaska, Utah, okay, and let's see, I think there's a couple more, Virginia and Michigan. Okay, there's the top, five. Though there's an article on our website, you can go to it, and they can read the article, and it has those states. But those seem to be the best plans according to Morningstar. And, of course, you know, anything run by Vanguard is very low cost, and that's one of the reasons why it would be considered the best. And also, you have to check out your state. Some states offer additional tax advantages for state income tax or whatever. Some states have that advantage, so you got to look up that as well. Maybe your state gives you a tax break of some kind. Okay, that's 529 programs. And if that's not the only savings account that's out there for education, there's a Coverdell also. It's called a Coverdell. It used to be called Coverdell Education IRA, but they don't do that anymore. They changed it to Coverdell. And that acts the same as a 529. You could put money aside for college. But the difference is 529, you can put a lot more money. I think it's $17,000, $18,000 a year. Coverdell is only $2,000 a year. But the Coverdell, you can use that money for other things other than accredited colleges. The 529 is accredited colleges only. So there's little quirks about these things you've got to have to understand. Not rocket science, but you have to understand. For instance, a Coverdell you can use for, a trade school. You couldn't use a 529 money for that. You can use Coverdell, you can do it for private high school. Private elementary school, private school, you can use that. But that kind of takes away from the growth aspect of it because you can't let it grow over years if you're spending it. And that's really the main attraction. You know, these things grow tax-free. Have you thought about a portfolio checkup, having a professional look over your shoulder, maybe review your retirement accounts? It takes about an hour, and it's with me. It's something I can do for a limited number of clients. I will be in San Diego on July 8th. San Jose on July 15th. So save a spot. Just go to investtalk.com. And if you want to do it over the phone, we can, you know. If you're not outside of California, I still can set up a time. We can take a look at your portfolio and talk to you over the phone. You can do that anytime. Right now, it's June 30th. We're ready to talk to you. 888-99-CHART. This is InvestTalk.
Thanks again for subscribing to our podcast. Investors who have been comfortable with stock funds may have a hard time adjusting to the notion that a mix of securities might better achieve their income goals, making the transition from growth-focused investing to income. That's our talking point for Wednesday's podcast.
888-992-4278. We're going to go talk to Gene in North Carolina. How are you doing, Gene?
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Well, since Puerto Rico and Greece are in the news because of their debt recently, right. I wonder if I could ask you a question about something I always hear about when someone asks, well, does the country have a lot of debt? They usually phrase it in terms of a proportion to their GDP.
Correct.
And I'm wondering, is it a proportion of their yearly payment of interest, or is it their overall amount of money they owe?
Overall amount of money they owe. Portugal is 130% right now, which is pretty darn high. Japan is even higher than that. But it's, go ahead.
Do you know what the United States is?
I don't remember. It's fairly high. Pretty high. But we're starting to working it down again. And how we're working it down is because we're growing faster than anybody else is growing right now. But, unfortunately, Gene, it's how you count the debt, too. In the United States, they don't count, in a lot of places, they don't count the Social Security benefits that are owed as part of the debt. So, if you start counting everything, and this is the fallacy about this. So that's why, Gene, we don't know where the number is that is too much debt. No one really knows that number until the market tells you. And they've been telling Greece for some time. The market, what does the market say? How does it talk? It shoots up interest rates.
It says it doesn't want to borrow. It doesn't feel comfortable lending you any more money.
Exactly. Think about you wanting to lend somebody money. Do you want to lend somebody money that's super in debt and you probably can't pay you? No. So you say, well, maybe I'll lend it to you if you give me 50% interest. Yeah.
You see what I heard that the proportion of debt that Japan has is worse than the U.S.
Yes, much worse. Much worse. So is it too much for Japan? See, I think the strong first world countries get a bigger pass on the debt to GDP ratio than a little country like Greece or Portugal or Spain. You know what I mean? Different countries have different levels of too much debt. You can't pay it back.
Right.
Okay,
thanks a lot.
Thanks for the call, Gene. Appreciate it. 888-99-CHARTER is our number, 888-992-4278. Love to talk to you. Give me a call. We'll talk about whatever's on your mind. Shifting gears with retirement investments. When you get to retirement or you're approaching retirement, you're not trying to get rich. You're not trying to grow the money. You're switching gears and you're trying not to get poor. Right? I mean, you've worked all your life, saved and invested, and now you have this nest egg, and now you're in retirement, and you need to start using that nest egg. You don't want to lose it. So that's the mindset change as you get approach retirement. So therefore, you need protections against the downside in the market. So what does that mean? Well, it means different things for different people because some people like to take risks because no matter what we say or what I say or anybody else says, the stock market gives you very good returns over time. It's just that every once in a while, you'll get a 2000.com implosion or a 2008 financial implosion. You're going to get those along the way. What you don't want them to happen is right when you're starting to take money and now you have those implosions going on for a couple of years while you're taking money out of your retirement account. And it's going down in value. So you need to preserve capital. That's the overriding goal. Preserving capital, but at the same time, trying to stay ahead of inflation. Inflation's real low right now, 2%. But the long-term inflation is about 3%, 3.3, something like that in the United States. So your investments have to grow more than that. Because remember, your buying power goes down. Think about buying a movie ticket 10 years ago and what it cost today. The government says there's not much inflation, but you and I kind of know differently. There's inflation out there. Go buy everyday products. Now, are they cheaper or more expensive? When you go buy a cell phone, is that cheaper or more expensive? And the government will count it this way. The cell phone is cheaper. Even if it costs more, it's cheaper because it does more things. Therefore, the value of doing more things, it means that you're getting more for your money. So therefore, it's the same price or less. Okay, that's the backward way government counts, just so you know. But you do need to shift gears when you are in retirement or approaching retirement. You kind of shift the gears away from growth to preservation. You still need some growth. I'm not trying to say, you know, that you don't want any growth. And of course, it's an individual thing too. But you do need to shift no matter what. You need to shift. Now, of course, if you're one of those multi-million, hundred millionaires, you don't care. You're not going to run out of money. I'm talking about us average schmoes out there. Okay? Be very careful. Coming up on InvestTalk Personal, timing your Medicare sign-up. Do you know when you need to sign up for your Medicare? Or how about the supplemental for the Medicare? Do you know how to know when you got to sign up for that? That's going to be in our next half hour on InvestTalk. If you don't know, stay tuned. You'll find out. We're here. We can turn to straight talk about anything money. Give us a call, 888-99-CHART.
Now is a good time to call InvestTalk.
I had a question on my 401k.
We're here for you. What's your question? 888-99-CHART is how to reach Steve right now on InvestTalk.
Chart. Don't save your questions, everybody. If you have a question that is about the basics, well, I'd be happy to talk about the basics. Remember, we only buy companies to make money, and you only buy companies with great fundamentals. Do you know what that means? If you don't, ask questions. Beginner experience questions are always welcome. 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Steve and Justin. This is Thomas from Henderson. Question I have is on NLY. Me and my brother have been talking about the fact that he keeps throwing at me the fact that that the REITs have to pay 90% and NLY is paying dividends. The dividends have not changed. I keep on throwing at him the fact that the PE is negative, which to me sounds like they're losing money one way or another. I don't know where the leak is, but if you could kind of straighten us out, I'm mostly out, he's mostly in, and he firmly believes in the company. So if you could tell us, let us know. Again, this is Tom signing off from Henderson, Nevada. Take care. That's all, guys. Bye-bye.
Okay, NLY is Annaly Capital Mortgage. It is a REIT that owns, manages, and finances mortgage pass-through certificates and collateralized mortgage obligations. Remember, these took a really big hit in the financial crisis. This company is going to make $1.09 this year, then $1.03 next year earnings. Made $1.14 last year. This is all per share. Made $1.21 the year before, $1.67 in 2012, $2.57 in 2011. So it went from $2.57 in 2011 down to $1.03 next year. Now it's paying a nice dividend. I'll give you that. It's a REIT. It has to pay 90% of that $1.03. That's going to make $1.09 this year and $1.03 next year. You're going to pay 90% of that in the form of dividend to you, the shareholder. So therefore, it's a $9.19 stock. So that's a pretty good dividend, 10% or so. Now, the question is always, well, can it make money? Can it keep it? Why is it making less money every year for the last 5-6 years? Why? What's the problem that is making less money? And that's really your issue. That's your question. The stock has been falling like a stone for a while. I mean, it was at a 21 in 2008. That's a high. These are the highs. 19 in 2009, 18 in 2010, 18 in 11, 17, 16. Now, in 2014, the high was 11. And today it's at $9.19. What difference does it make if you're making a 10% yield? If the stock is going down 20% a year, you're still losing money. That is what the worry is. And if you look at its quarterly sales, it's very erratic. Growth, shrinkage, and their quarterly sales. This is too risky for me. I don't care how good that dividend yield is. It's just too risky. I don't like what I see. So I wouldn't even look at this Yeah. Don't fall in love with a 13% or 10% yield. Don't fall in love with a stock that does that, because you want sustainability. You want growth of the dividend, not shrinkage. And it shrunk its dividend three times in 2013. And it hasn't shrunk, but it's going to have to shrink it if the earnings keep going down. It can't keep it up. Yeah, they got to have earnings to pay dividends. It's NLY. 888-99-CHART. Okay, ignore the noise. Don't let emotions dictate to you. There's a lot of noise out there about what's going on in Greece and all that stuff. This just to me is like an excuse. Someone wants to take profits. Okay, take profits. That's okay. And that's what they did yesterday. They took profits. And, of course, the market's down for the year. You know, it's all fine. But, you know, was there a real reason for the market to fall because of what's happening in Greece? Probably not. Just fear. Is there something you should do now to react to it? Probably not. Not now. Will the market go down further? I don't know. People ask me all the time, where's the market going to go? No one knows that. I don't know that. All I can tell you is, historically, you usually get a correction in the summertime. It bottoms sometimes. Sometimes it's in September, October that it bottoms, and then it goes up. It's very, very frequent, pretty often that happens in the summer. Not every summer, but it's pretty frequent. And from that bottom, there usually is a rally into the end of the year and the beginning of next year. That's normal. If the economy looks like it's on track, that would be a normal reaction. If the Fed even raises rates, if the economy is strong, doesn't necessarily mean the market will go down. And everybody's been fearing the Fed raising rates this year, and they probably are going to raise them this year. I mean, wouldn't surprise me. Wouldn't surprise me if they don't raise them either, by the way. You know, technically, there's no reason to raise these rates because there's no inflation and the economy is not overheating. So why are you even contemplating raising rates? The only reason is because the rates are so low. Why are they so low? Well, you, the Fed, lowered them to that point. Okay, you can argue whether they needed to or not, but that's why they're low. But to have the reason to raise them just because they're too low is not a very good reason. The Fed will raise rates typically for the economy overheating, and they want to slow it down because they don't want to spark inflation. They want to control inflation. Well, we don't have inflation. We don't have an overheated economy. So why are you even talking about raising rates at this point? Because they're too low. We want to make the most of the money we've already earned and get it working harder for everybody, for you, for me. The goal, of course, is to be financially independent by the time you want to retire. So let's work on that together. Check in now at 888-99-CHART. This is Invest Talk.
There's a link to today's talking point. Just look for the features heading on investtalk.com and then Tuesday, Talking Point. And now it's time to ask that money question you've been saving. 888-99-CHART is how to get through right now.
Hi, this is John from Walnut Creek. I listen to you on podcast. You have a wonderful show. I had a question about limit orders. Say you have a limit order set at $90 for a $100 stock. And that stock splits and does a 2-for-1, so it drops down to $50. Does your limit order execute, or does it just get canceled or bypassed? Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Usually the limit order will split with you, but you don't know that. You got to check with your broker who you're working with, if it's a discount broker or whoever. But, you know, what a limit order is means you're going to sell or buy a stock at a specific price. But if there's a 2-for-1 split and the stock goes from 90 to 45, because now you have two shares at 45 instead of one share at 90, that limit order of 100 will be split 2-for-1 too. So now it's 50 instead of 100. So the stock is 45 and your limit order is at 50. But you need to check. You need to be careful because not everything is that automatic. You know, but that's normally what would happen. And many times, you know, depends on the brokerage firm, they don't let you carry a limit order forever. You know, there's time limits on those. You gotta find out, make sure. We want to make the most of the money you've already earned and get it working harder for you. The goal is always the same for everybody, you, me, and everybody. Okay? Well, let's talk about InvestTalk Personal right now. The day-to-day money choices you make that last forever, that have a big impact on you, me. When to sign up for Medicare? Studies have shown that many older Americans fail to sign up at the right time, which can lead to higher premiums or leave you with some coverage gaps. So there's an initial enrollment window in Medicare. And that window is it's a 7-month initial enrollment period. This period includes the 3 months before you turn 65. 3 months before you turn 65, your birthday month, and the 3 months after that, 7 months. Now, this window applies to all forms of Medicare, Part A, which is hospital, B, doctor, outpatient expenses, C, Medicare Advantage, and D, prescription drugs. You have to sign up for these. And what about Medigap enrollment? There's a separate 6-month open enrollment period for Medicare supplement policies. You buy these from private companies. That begins when you've turned 65. 6 months after you turn 65 and are enrolled in Part B. You've got to be enrolled in Part B, which, of course, you will be, doctor and outpatient. During this period, insurers must sell you a Medigap policy they offer, and they can't charge you more because of your age or health condition. This guarantee access may be crucial because if you miss the window and try to buy a Medigap policy later, insurers are not obligated to offer you at that same price. So you cannot miss it. 6 months afterwards for Medigap coverage, supplemental coverage, and then 3 months before, the 1 month of your birthday, and 3 months after to sign up for Medicare. For all the details, though, which, you know, there's other details, but these you can go to the Medicare.org website to get more information. And that's InvestTalk Personal. Do you have more money questions? Now is a good time to ask them. 888-99-CHART is our number. It's direct line. We're live 4 to 5 Pacific time, Monday through Friday, and I welcome your call on InvestTalk.
Annuities, asset allocation, reading stock market trends, building a truly balanced portfolio. If it's important to you and you want to know more about it, we're here for you. 888-99-CHART.
Hi, I have a bit of a beginner question. I currently own 11 stocks. However, I've never invested in ETF. How does it work? Are there fees? How are those fees charged? Do you get dividends when owning the ETFs? And to be more specific, I'm looking at QLD. All right, thanks.
QLDs or any ETF, QLD specifically, or any other ETF, trade like stocks. You buy them like stocks, you sell them like stocks, intraday. There is a commission to buy and sell. But in addition, remember, it's an ETF, exchange traded fund. It's like a mutual fund, and there is an expense ratio. There is an expense, ongoing expense fee in every mutual fund and every ETF. The ETFs usually are cheaper, but, you know, it ranges from 0.2 to 0.6 a year. 0.2 to 0.6% a year. That's the expense ratio. So there's not only the trading fee, but that fee also, which means they're not necessarily cheap. They're not. QLD, if you own an ETF that pays dividends, then you get the dividend. QLD pays 0.2% dividend. It went ex-dividend. The last time it went ex-dividend, meaning when it paid last, was March 25th. 0.2% is not very much. So you don't own QLD for that, because QLD is the exchange traded fund seeking performance corresponding to twice the daily performance of the NASDAQ 100. So it's a leveraged fund, 200% leverage. So it goes down twice as fast and up twice as fast as the NASDAQ 100. Now, being a leveraged fund, it's not perfect. It doesn't match perfectly the movement of the underlying index. It won't. You'll see it. You can do the math yourself. Look at the day-to-day trade. Okay? Now, did it go up twice as much as the NASDAQ 100 did today? And you'll find that it probably did not. And that's how they work. Leverage is not perfect. They try to. Remember, it's seeking performance corresponding to the twice. It's seeking it. It doesn't necessarily achieve it. And we call that a tracking error, by the way. It's called a tracking error. It doesn't track the underlying index. So it's a tracking error. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278 is our direct number. You can call right now. What do you think is the most expensive hotel city for hotel rooms in the world? And I'm going to give you some hints. It's in the United States, and it's not Boston, and it's not New York. It's not Chicago either. How's those for hints? It's a member in the world. Let's talk to Mike in Sunnyvale. How you doing, Mike?
Hi, Mike. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Yeah, I wanted to ask your opinion regarding TRU. This new IPO came out last week.
Okay.
I never invested in IPOs, but TransUnion actually is very the popular name. I just was thinking maybe snap at it and buy a few hundred shares. What do you think about the valuation and you know the overall?
Okay, this is TransUnion. It came out IPO, 4 or 5 days ago, June 25th. Provides information risk management solutions to businesses and consumers in the United States and other countries. It came out, it's a $4.5 billion company, so it's a pretty good size. It does $353 million of sales a quarter, so it's a pretty decent size. It doesn't make money. It didn't make money in 2014. I don't know about this year. They haven't given us the option. The problem with IPOs is they're so new, you have no track record of something to base it on. You really don't. So you're taking a big risk. And when I don't like buying IPOs. I don't like it because the insiders get to sell about 6 months after initially public offering starts. So there's going to be pressure to sell it, and many IPOs go right back to their IPO price or less in 6 months. I just don't like buying IPOs. It's too doesn't mean you don't ever buy one. You can take a risk on a few of them, but make sure they're growing very, very fast, because that's the only reason why you'd want to buy them. This one's growing about 15-16%, so it's not that fast. Appreciate the call. Thanks, Mike. We're glad you're with us. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, and you can reach me right now at 888-99-CHART. I'll do my best to answer any questions financial that you might have, and you're listening to Invest Talk.
What are small cap stocks? What makes them act differently than large cap stocks? What's your question? Why not ask it now at 888-99-CHART on Invest Talk? Our podcast distribution is made possible each day by KPP Financial, Steve Peasley, President. And remember, you can get a question to Steve or Justin directly and get an answer back by email. Just go to investtalk.com and click on Contact Steve or Contact Justin.
888-992-4278. So what is the most expensive city to have a hotel room in? And it's in the United States. It's San Francisco. San Francisco prices, average price is $397 a night. It went up 88.2% in 1 year. It wasn't even on the top 10 list last year. Now it's number one. Right behind it is Geneva. That's also expensive, but they've actually, the rates fell 5%. In Milan, number three, it went up 47%. In Dubai, it went down 6%. These are in order of expenses. And what is the last one on the top 10? Hong Kong, $236 a night. Was there any others in the U.S.? Yes. 7, 8, 9. Chicago, Miami, and Los Angeles. Remember, these are the top 10. London's not on here. Isn't that surprising? London was on here last year, but it fell off. Those are the most expensive place to get a hotel room is San Francisco. You knew it was expensive. Everybody knows it's expensive, but I think it has a lot to do with what's going on in Silicon Valley. Huge growth there, putting a lot of pressure on real estate values. Prices are very high. and they've been growing very sharply this year. Now, my next talking point before the end of the show, if we have time, one of the most popular U.S. national parks for camping. And out of the top 10, I've been to 7 of them. I'm pretty happy about that. I was surprised. The most popular is Yosemite. If you haven't been to Yosemite, you really got to go. It's pretty spectacular. Yellowstone. You haven't been to Yellowstone, you got to go. It's pretty spectacular. I've been to those two. Lake Mead, I have not been. That's number 3, which surprised me. Lake Mead? Well, a lot of people from L.A. go out there on the lake, so I guess maybe, you know, that's why. The Grand Canyon, Great Smoky Mountains. I have never been to that one. So Lake Mead and Great Smoky, I've never been to. Grand Tetons, which is right next to Yellowstone. I've been to both of those. Olympic National Park. I've been up to Washington several times. I've never been to Olympic National Park, so I'm going to have to make a trip to that place. Joshua Tree. Now, I will bet most people listening to this show that don't live in Southern California never heard of Joshua Tree. It's a national park in the desert, east of San Diego, south of Los Angeles, in the desert. I've been there, and I'm not sure why it's so popular. It's the desert. I guess people like the desert. And then Glacier, I've been there. Last year, I rode my bike through Glacier National Park. And Zion. And I did that the year before, riding my bike through Zion, which is really interesting. Let's take a question from Joe in Oakland, 888-99-CHART.
Hey, guys. How's it going? Big fans. Just had a, wanted to hear your guys' opinion on the outlook for, let's say, about 12 to 18 months on the muni bond market. Thank you, guys, very much. I appreciate the insight.
18 months, okay, 1 year, 1.5 years. Well, I believe we're going to see a slow increase in interest rates, very slow. So what's going to happen is when interest rates rise, the value of bonds go down. So keep your maturity dates fairly short. Don't go way out there. But they'll be fine because you have an economy that's recovering. As far as safety, they're going to be very, very safe. But you're not going to get a lot of return. You're just not. But the bond values will go down. I like to take a ladder approach to it, ladder the bonds. You know, some come into 6 months, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. That's a ladder. And don't go out more than about 4 years, I think. Let's go to Joe in the Bay Area. How you doing, Joe?
Fine, Steve. Thank you very much.
Thank
you. I just have a question on Ellie Mae. E-L-L-I, I believe, is the symbol.
Yes.
But just want to know what you thought of it.
Okay, Ellie Mae is headquartered in Pleasanton, California. Very nice place in California. Provides electronic mortgage origination services through a network connecting over 109,000 professionals and lenders. So, it's a $2 billion company. Not very small. That's pretty decent for someone doing only about $50 million a quarter, $200 million a year. It's growing very fast. Growing very, very fast. They're going to make $1.47. The stock is at 69 cents, so it's kind of overpriced. But when it's growing 60-70%, that's a pretty fair price, I think. It's moving up. You ride the ride, but it's going to be pretty volatile. As soon as it slows down its growth, it's going to get hit. But maybe it won't do that for a year or two. Who knows? We're out of time for today. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, and for Justin Klein, everyone at KPP Financial, thanks for listening today. And I hope that you have a great evening, and we'll do it again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.